point or
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, if you know someone in pain, or if you just want to know how to live a healthy life, this is a great book to start. I actually give you the first six chapters free when you sign up for my newsletter. Just go to KarenCan.com, put your name and email address in there, and I will send you the download link where you can download the first six chapters. And in addition, you get access to my Fast Track Your Healing webinar programs free, and that you can watch at any time. You just bookmark that page, and you can check out any of those classes, and they're very, very popular. And today I'm really excited because lately I've been doing a lot of pictures of food and talking a lot about food, and recently those of you that have been following the show, I have had Dr. Kelly Brogan on the show and Dr. Kellyanne Petrucci, and we were just talking about fish and vital choice, and Dr. Kellyanne said on the show, I just had a conversation with Randy not too long ago. Now, Randy Hartnell is the founder and president of Vital Choice Seafood, and that is my absolutely favorite place to buy seafood. And I sometimes I wish for things, and then I just say to Spirit, God, just, give me something here that I can use, because here I live in the Northeast, and we're not really near the shore. And unfortunately, our lakes do tend to be polluted. And even though we're in the Adirondacks, and so I have not been near a big city for a while, and they have access to some pretty amazing seafood. But where I live, when you go to the grocery store, at least they're sustainable now. But before, you'd look in the case and you'd be like, ooh, yuck, And I've eaten enough bad fish from the grocery store. I just gave up, and I knew how important fish and fish oils were, and. And then there's the whole, radiation issue and scare, Fukushima, how dangerous that kind of thing. So I only buy, my sushi fish from one place, and that's Vital Choice. I was so excited to get the founder and CEO of the company, Randall Hartnell, on the show today to talk about the fish. We're going to talk about basically, what evidence is there still that fish is healthy or not. Obviously, I think it is. Otherwise, I wouldn't recommend it. But also some concerns that people have about radiation in our oceans, how healthy the fish really is, how do you choose the best fish, how do you know, that it's good, what kind of testing they do. And I'm going to actually tell you that there's a whole bunch of different things that we buy from Vital Choice. And these people know what they're doing, because not only do I buy regularly from them, but all of a sudden I got this package one day, and it was this huge box, and I'm thinking, I don't remember ordering anything last week. And I was like, I said to my husband, this is strange. I don't think we've had anything back ordered, so open it. And there was, organic chocolate and berries and seafood and packaged, the non-frozen stuff and the now they have that you can buy in these foil packages, so you don't have to have these cans of salmon and all. And I thought, what is this? And I look in their card, it says, thanks for being a great customer. I mean, there must have been over $125 worth of stuff, gift to me. I was like, wow. I was so excited. I took a picture of it, posted it on Facebook. I mean, check out this company. It was really, really cool. And I'm not even sure Randy knows that they did that, or maybe he did that on purpose, but it was just absolutely fabulous. So these people know how to treat their good customers, and I'm very happy to be their good customers. And when I feed other people, one time for Thanksgiving, a friend of mine, I forgot that he didn't eat turkey at the time. He didn't eat turkey. And so I'm scrambling to figure out what to feed this man. And so I went out and got Alaskan, whatever I could get, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, from the grocery store, and it was like this last-minute thing. I didn't have time to, you know, get it from Vital Choice, which normally would be my first choice, obviously. And so I made the salmon. He said, oh, this is really good. And you know what? There was one piece left over, so I thought, well, I'll try it. Well, I ate it, and I thought, oh, my God, this is horrible. I just couldn't eat it. And I was, like, smiling and going, oh, this is really interesting. This is labeled wild-caught Alaskan salmon, but was nothing like what I usually eat. I actually ended up throwing out the rest, you know, because it wasn't that good. So there are huge differences. And recently we had a party with my Indigo kids, and one of them, you know, we're talking about nutrition, and, you know, sometimes she comes to the office with McDonald's fries, and, you know, we kind of talk about nutrition. And so I said, do you want, you know, you want chicken or do you want wild-caught Alaskan salmon? It's the best I can get. And she goes, I'll try the salmon. I said, okay, you want it raw or you want it cooked? She goes, I don't know. I'll try it raw. I said, really? Okay. So I'm not even sure she's even eaten sushi or sashimi before. So I served it to her, served it to the kids, and we made these little homemade sauces, which, by the way, you know, when you go to my website, I'll be posting those recipes today. And she says, this is really good. She says, I can eat this salmon every day. And that is a quote from, a 14-year-old. I mean, talk about amazing. And I told her mom, and her mom was floored. Like, what? This McDonald's eating child it wants to eat salmon. So anyway, that's a big, long intro. But just to let you know what a difference is when you can eat good quality food versus not good quality food. Your body just knows the difference. So I'm so pleased, Randy, to welcome to the show. Hello, hello.
Thank you, Dr. Karen. It's great to be here. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. That was awesome.
Yeah, I was. You probably didn't know the whole story. So that's kind of the background story. And I'm not even sure the first person I heard about this, but I got to tell you, when I first saw your website, I thought, my prayers have been answered. That's exactly what I thought. I said, thank you, God. Because although, you know, I mean, there are downsides to having something shipped. I mean, there's the whole, you know, the carton that's, you know, non-recyclable at this point, and, you know, things like that. But I just couldn't get anything, you know, locally of this quality. And then recently seeing one of the movies that you were in talking about your history and how people didn't know about this, I thought that was really interesting too. So, Randy, why don't you let us know about how you got started in this company? Because, you know, most people think CEOs, like, I don't know, how do you get started in a fish company?
Well, I'm a classic example of necessity being the mother of invention. I was a commercial fisherman in Alaska for over 20 years. I started going up there in college to make my tuition payments, and fell in love with working on the water and working off the grid and sort of the last of the hunter-gatherer occupations. And did that for a long time and would probably still be doing it, except about 15 years ago, we encountered the industrialization of salmon. So farm salmon grew exponentially, infiltrated pretty much all of our markets. And in spite of the fact that we had this just incredible, abundant, sustainable salmon that we were catching, all of a sudden it seemed like overnight nobody wanted it anymore. Or if they wanted it, they wanted to pay us bread and water wages. And I endured for 2 or 3 years. And finally, when I got to the end of the season in 2001 and I didn't have enough left over to pay my crew, let alone bring something home for the family, it ceased to be, a viable living. So I had to find something else to do. And over the course of the following year or so, I was just so angry because we had this incredible seafood, but we'd basically been displaced by just the way that the cattle ranchers, you know, the small farmers have been over the last century. And I wanted to educate people about the differences, you know, just like the difference between a grass-fed animal versus a feedlot animal, that, you know, you are what you eat, the animals are what they eat, and they're dramatically different. There's a lot of difference between wild salmon and farm salmon. And so I went out trying to educate people about this and found that people were really receptive. And when they learned the dramatic differences, not only nutritionally but also environmentally, as an aside, you know, most environmental, pretty much all credible environmental organizations rate Alaskan wild salmon as super green. You know, it's one of the most sustainable foods on the planet, and we can get into more about that later if you wish, versus farm salmon, which all credible environmental organizations rate red list or avoid. So anyway, I went out just basically trying to educate people about the differences between wild and farm. And when they learned, almost unanimously, they said, well, I don't want farm salmon. I want wild. Where can I get it? And that was a real problem because there weren't many places they could get it. And to this day, almost every restaurant that offers salmon offers farm salmon. Almost every grocery store that offers salmon offers farm salmon. And and as you alluded to, I'm so happy you mentioned it in your introduction. Even when you do find wild salmon in grocery stores, more than half the time, according to numerous studies, it's mislabeled. As we've been in business now for 15 years and educating people about the difference between wild and farm, more consumers are looking for it. And so what some of the less scrupulous grocery stores and restaurants are doing is they're just calling it wild because it works better. Mm-hmm. But what happens is then somebody like yourself purchases it thinking they're getting a good quality fish, and they're basically been deceived. And so then many people, you know better, but many people don't know better, and they just assume that, well, it doesn't taste good, I don't like wild salmon, and then they're basically gone. But anyway, so they would ask me, where can I get wild salmon? And I didn't have good answers. Finally, one day, this woman just looked at me, and she just really wanted to know, and I said, well, her name was Helen Gaydosh. I'll never forget it. And I said, well, Helen, I can send you some. And that just started the ball rolling toward, a whole bunch of serendipitous things happened along the way that basically led to where we are now. We've been in business going on 15 years and serve tens of thousands of people across the country and provide them with access to really the best quality sustainable seafood. And it's enormously gratifying to be able to provide people with, you know, great fish and great food. So that's kind of how I got where I am.
Oh, that is a great story. And my husband was, you know, his background in nutrition was, you know, boxed cereals and things from the mass grocery stores. That's what he was fed. And so when I introduced some of this fish, he was just incredulous, because he never really ate that much, like maybe fish sticks or something as a kid, but nothing like really, really good. And so now he regularly asks for the Ventresca tuna. So if people don't know what that is, so from Vital Choice, it's like tuna belly, so it's a little fattier. And I personally, Randy, I never liked tuna. Maybe ahi tuna I used to eat, and then I get a stomach ache each time and realize later it was the mercury. My body was reacting to the mercury. So I stopped eating tuna at the sushi restaurant many, many years ago. But your Ventresca tuna is different. I will eat that. That tastes so good. Even if, you know, even the low mercury tuna from other, you know, I won't say the brands, but other brands, I don't like. I just don't like the taste. I don't like the texture. But this one I do, and it's worth the extra, you know, money to get the Ventresca tuna bellies. And now you're selling the bellies of the salmon. So another fan here. So another product we normally love. And most recently, and this is what I was telling Dr. Kellyanne Petrucci about the fish bone broth. I had wished, again, said another prayer, that somebody would make me fish bone broth. And I thought, well, this isn't going to happen. Like, how's this going to happen? But then I saw it on your website. You offer fish bone broth. And I was, like, again, elated. I said, thank you, God, for answering my prayer. And, boy, it is delicious. It's absolutely delicious. So, wow, Randy. I mean, you guys have just expanded, you know, the different things you offer. Sablefish is another favorite of ours. I mean, you know, we get the prawns as well, and the list goes on and on. So maybe you can tell us, because you've been educating people for so long, maybe for new people that don't know this, like, what are the differences between wild and farm salmon, either nutritionally and also to our ecosystem? What are those differences?
Well, one of the first differences, and you see this whenever you industrialize, you know, food, it's all about driving costs out. And So the way you drive costs out when you're trying to raise what, you know, what has been derived from ocean roaming carnivores is you take them off their natural diets and you put them on the cheapest possible food you can find, and we all know what that is. It's our corn, soybean, you know, our subsidized grain crops. And but the problem with that is the more of that, the more unnatural grains that you feed these salmon, the fewer omega-3s they have and the more omega-6s they have. And, of course, that's a whole other story, but generally the omega-6s are more pro-inflammatory. And the reason everybody tells us to eat omega-3-rich fish, fatty fish, is primarily for those healthy fats. So farm salmon contains far less of those than wild salmon. And then, of course, there's all the other things that you normally find industrially raised protein, the environmental issues that go back to the nutrition side of it, the artificial coloring. They're fed synthetic compounds to color the flesh because they're not getting the normal high carotenoid plankton that they eat in the wild. And you have antibiotics and pesticides. They're prone to these parasites called sea lice, and so it depends. You know, they're raised all over the world, so I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. But generally, because water is such a good medium for spreading viral infections and whatnot, the farm salmon tend to be treated with a large number of antibiotics and pesticides. And in fact, according to some studies, they're treated with more pesticides and antibiotics per pound than any other food that we eat. So, and that's one reason that they've been red listed by so many environmental organizations. They also cause tremendous damage to the ecosystem in which they've been raised. Switching over to the environmental side for a minute, just north of us up in British Columbia, they've located hundreds of salmon pens, and the problems with those, and they've done this in Norway and Scotland and other places, and when they do that, the wild fish that normally inhabit those areas are devastated. In fact, if you go to Norway and Scotland, the places where they've been raising farm salmon the longest, you won't find the wild salmon in any great abundance anymore. So Alaska, for that reason, has banned net pen salmon farming. So you know that when you buy Alaskan salmon, you're safe, as long as it's being, it's a credible vendor and it's being accurately labeled. I have to answer any other specific questions. We could talk about this all day long, but generally, it's like I said, it's the difference between wild and farmed is dramatic nutritional differences and dramatic environmental differences. In Alaska, they've been managing their wild fisheries basically for over 50 years, and they have still record runs coming back. A lot of it is the management. A lot of it is the habitat, which are, the habitat's protected. The rivers are still pristine, and they have biologists or scientists that manage every river, make sure that they get enough fish back to sustain the runs. So the more you look at Alaskan seafood, salmon, whatever, really the better it looks.
So there's this commitment to keep it that way, and whereby maybe we're hearing from various news sources that, this natural salmon's dwindling. It doesn't seem like that's true for the Alaskans.
We spend a lot of our time, in fact, I'm just most passionate personally about sort of myth busting, and because really it starts with the fact that seafood is, if it's sourced from a sustainable region and a clean area, seafood is, without any question, the most sustainable food on our planet. You don't have to, it doesn't take any fresh water to grow it, other maybe a little bit to process it. It doesn't take fertilizer or none of these things I was mentioning with farm salmon, pesticides. It's just an incredible gift of nature that human beings have been eating for tens of thousands of years. It's one of the last truly wild, sort of naturally organic foods on the planet. And but, of course, we all see the headlines about Fukushima and mercury, and people are scared to death to eat seafood. And so what we try to do is just, deliver the facts. I've made one of my favorite things to do is to go to scientific conferences where people who study this this kind of thing, you know, just cut through all the sensational headlines and get to the facts. The facts say that the healthiest people on this planet are people in populations that eat the most seafood, not the least. Talking about, you know, Japan, where infant mortality is way lower than here, and life expectancy is way higher, and much less incidence of all the diseases that are ravaging American, the people eating a standard American diet. So there are just a lot of myths out there about seafood. A lot of people avoid seafood because they think it tastes fishy. And the reason they think that is because it can be pretty expensive, and so grocery stores don't like to throw it out when it should be thrown out. It's really perishable. It goes bad fast.
Right.
And those healthy oils, as you know, they're polyunsaturated fats, highly polyunsaturated fats, so they're super prone to oxidation. And that's what we know as rancidity or fishiness. And if I could just tell one quick little story, one of our employees who's been with us for quite a while, he used to work and manage a meat and seafood counter in a grocery store. And he tells these stories of how, you know, his supervisor would tell him to soak the fish fillets in buttermilk to try to get them to, you know, be able to sell them for a day or two longer. And they would try to put put these little bacteria sensors on the fish in the display case, and they'd turn colors when the bacteria count got up. And he said they turn colors so fast they throw them out and just kind of continue doing what they're doing. So this is why when people go into a grocery store and they buy fish, a lot of times it just doesn't taste that good. And now, if you find this, if you're fortunate enough to live near a store, a supermarket, a fish shop where the vendor is knowledgeable and committed, probably the owner of the store, then your chance of getting good product are much better. But generally, if you go into chain stores, all they want to do is, you know, sell as much fish as they can, as profitably as they can, and unfortunately, that's usually farmed salmon.
Okay. Well, I, you know, interestingly, that the times where I have eaten fish, not that often, mind you, but in a restaurant, it definitely still tastes better than the fish that I have at home before, you know, I started, you know, buying from you guys. So why is that? I was always curious why the fish in the restaurant always tastes better.
You know, that is totally a hit and miss. You know, I was just in Los Angeles here a couple months ago, and I met a couple friends at a conference, and I wanted to take them out for seafood. And, of course, here I'm supposed to be the seafood expert. And I asked the concierge at the hotel, where's the best seafood restaurant? So we end up at this place, a very nice restaurant downtown L.A. And I look at the menu, and they've got Alaskan black cod on the menu, which you mentioned it earlier, the sablefish, mm-hmm. which is a super rich, just succulent, delicious fish, really high in omega-3 fats. And I asked the waitress, I said, is it fresh? Oh, very fresh. So I said, you guys have got to try this. This is the most incredible, delicious fish. They brought it. I took one bite of it, and it was rancid. And it was like, here's supposed to be one of the best seafood restaurants, best fish out of Alaska. And, of course, my friends didn't really want to say anything. And I'm just sitting there, should I make a scene? Should I complain? And before I knew it, so the waitress came over and I told her it was ranch. She said, oh, no, we just got this. You know, I said, listen. Anyway, the manager ended up coming over, apologizing profusely. But if you're buying in that case, sablefish, it is pretty expensive. And the chef doesn't want to have to toss it. If he can get $30 or $40 a plate for a sablefish portion, he oftentimes is going to do that rather than, you know, toss it when it should be tossed. So, and then other things, in answer to your question about why it might be better in restaurants, they're really great at using all kinds of sauces and, you know, flavorings to maybe disguise a less than high quality piece of fish. If you find a restaurant that is consistently serving you great seafood, you're very fortunate. We happen to have one or two here locally, and I'm their biggest fan, and I just always sing praises to them because it's not easy, and not very many people do it well.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there are times where we've gone to a restaurant or even bought stuff from the grocery store that, you know, I take one bite of the seafood and it tastes like they put a chemical on it. Like, I mean, if it was buttermilk, I probably wouldn't mind as much, but it didn't taste like that. It tasted like some sort of weird
like
chemical. Yeah, exactly. What is that? I mean, it was awful.
That is a chemical process they put on to extend the shelf life, you know, to sort of kill the bacteria, and that's very common. Very common. So.
Wow, it is common, huh? Because I mean, the waiter didn't look like he knew anything when I was saying, "Look, this tastes bad. Like you put a chemical on it." He just looked clueless. But maybe that was a good acting job. I don't know.
That's the problem is people are just not that sort of familiar with or knowledgeable about the products. And people always ask me, well, how do I tell the difference in a restaurant? And really, if you ask your waiter, waitress, food server, any details about where the salmon's from, if they can't answer it specifically, chances are it's going to be farmed salmon. If they're paying extra to get wild salmon and they respect their customers enough to offer wild salmon, then they should be very knowledgeable about, well, this came from Alaska, this came from British Columbia, wherever. But usually you'll just get a blank stare. I'll check,
right.
They'll say, and come back. And anyway, you just better
yeah,
off.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, already you talked about farm salmon being fed corn and soy, most of which is genetically modified in this country, so already not great. So what about the newly passed genetically engineered salmon? So what kind of education should we be telling people about that?
To my knowledge, there really isn't any of that out on the market yet.
Okay.
The best way to avoid it, you know, it has all the connotations of genetically modified anything. It's the first animal that has been approved, for public sale. And I'm sure it's only a matter of time before it's available. But it's a lot like genetically modified fruits and vegetables and other things. The way to avoid it is just stick to truly organic foods. And in this case, stick to truly wild salmon, and then you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Are there other places on the planet besides Alaska that have wild, safe salmon or fish?
Russia actually has some big salmon runs. Of course, that's not really available to us, and their management systems are not, I can't really say what they are. I'm not that familiar with them. I have seen pictures of the runs, and they do have some very pristine water. You know, basically, if you go up to Alaska and go straight across to Russia, it's very remote and clean. But as far as available to American consumers, Alaska really is the best source. There are a few salmon occasionally that come out of California. There's some nice king salmon runs that come, and also Washington and Oregon. But I'd say over 90% of any wild salmon, probably closer to 98% of any wild salmon you see in grocery stores is going to originate in Alaska. A lot of people don't know this. Alaska pursued statehood, in part, to take back control of their fishery resources. And they wrote right into their state constitution that all their fishery resources would be managed on a sustainable yield basis. And basically that means that they will be harvested or caught in a way that makes sure there will always be more to catch in the future. And so far, after more than 50 years, it's a system that's working really well. Not only for salmon, but for all their fish.
Yeah, that is great to hear. Something is working. Somebody, you know, had some foresight to protect our ecosystem. It's so inspiring. What about the other fish you were talking about? So, what are the other kind of safer fish that is available that would be good for consumers?
Well, one I would like to talk about, which you touched on, is tuna. Tuna gets a huge, hugely bad rap, you know, in the media. Basically, doctors, all kinds of people say avoid tuna without paying really any attention to the incredible diversity of tuna. And so, yes, you probably don't want to eat 800-pound bluefin tuna, which is, you know, most of which goes to sushi markets, every day, because these fish live a long time. They're at the top of the food chain. They do concentrate methylmercury, so they're going to have more, versus a little, you know, young albacore tuna that maybe is only 2 or 3 years old and weighs 12 pounds and, you know, has super high omega-3 levels, oils. This is what our Ventresca comes from. And so it's really about selectivity and knowing, you know, which species tend to have the shortest natural lives and eat toward the bottom of the food chain rather than the top. Certainly you want to avoid the predatory fish, the billfish, the big long-lived fish, marine mammals. Anything that's at the top of the food chain is going to bioaccumulate a relatively large amount of contaminants. And, so what we do is, our philosophy is we buy and we sell what we want to eat ourselves. Vital Choice employees eat more of our seafood than anybody. And we have, by the way, we have an incredibly healthy workforce. And, so it's really, pardon the cliche, but it's really the golden rule. We source what we want to eat, what we're comfortable in feeding our kids. And we know by intense study and talking to the experts and reviewing thousands of scientific reviews and studies, we have a lot of confidence in the products that we consume and that we offer our customers.
Oh, good. Well, what about the, we talked a little bit about the radiation from Fukushima. So is that not, I don't know too much about it, except that people are very, very concerned about Pacific, you know, salmon and fish. Is
now
that eventually going to contaminate all of the earth?
That's a fantastic question, and one we've been answering ever since the tragedy that happened in Fukushima. We wanted to find out, and for our, as I said, for ourselves and for our customers, what's the deal? And so when you want to find the facts, when you want to get to the bottom, the internet is not necessarily the best place to go, because there's just so much that's, you know, ill-founded, and just it makes great headlines. It makes great radio talk and TV talk. You know, Dr. Oz was on showing this a few years ago. He showed a map of the Pacific that made it look like the entire Pacific was, you know, boiling in radiation. And anybody that watched that show would have just sworn off fish from the Pacific forever. In reality, that map that he showed was basically the tsunami. It was color-coded to show the tsunami effect of the original earthquake. And so the color coincided with the height. It had nothing to do with radiation, but that's the way it was presented. That's been all over the internet. And, of course, people just kind of in scan modes. Anyway, so what we did is we said, well, we need to get our fish tested. We found the most credible scientific lab that we could find. It's called Eurofins Scientific, and they... You can't buy a Geiger counter and hold it over your fish, because the levels would be so traced that it would never work. I've had people call me and tell me that they bought a Geiger counter. But anyway.
Oh, really?
No,
oh.
It's really sophisticated, expensive equipment to analyze and really, you know, see if those isotopes are in there. And so we've been doing that every year, roughly, we do it. And to give you an idea of the unit of measure is called becquerels per kilogram. Becquerels per kilogram. Now, just to give it some context, the safe number of becquerels per kilogram in water, drinking water, is about 400. The lowest number of becquerels per kilogram that could be detected is 2. So obviously, they could find it if it's in there. And we've probably done, I don't know, somewhere between 60 and 100 tests, maybe over 100 of 16 different species. We've done the salmon more than anything because that's our most popular product. We have never had one detect for cesium-137, strontium-91, you know, all the things that you would expect to find if it was in there. So, and the way it's been explained to me is that what people discount is the tremendous dilutive power of trillions and trillions of gallons of water between us and Japan. Now, their has been some detect in some species. There was a headline that came out, and I think it was the Los Angeles Times, all Pacific tuna radiated. And it was terrifying to think, you know, that all of our tuna in the Pacific was irradiated. But when you had to read down two or three paragraphs to say, well, you would have to eat about 30 or 40 pounds of tuna a day to get a, you know, a dangerous dose. In other words, it was just such a trace level that it was it was negligible. So basically, that's a long-winded way of saying that Pacific seafood is safe. The benefits vastly outweigh any risk, and the chances are that if you're avoiding seafood, that's probably more harmful than any hazard that would be associated with a parts per trillion or parts per billion level of radiation. And it is starting, whatever's out there is starting to dissipate. I think they thought it would peak sometime this year or over this period, last year or this year, whatever. So that's really not, in my opinion, based on a lot of testing, I don't think it's anything people need to worry about, at least the products that we're getting out of Alaska.
Well, I do thank you very much for, you know, the details, because that is of interest to me. And, I don't have time to go to all these different, you know, conferences and listen to all these scientists. And, yeah, we do get a lot of our information from what we can from the Internet, and we do kind of scan it quickly, you know, just to see, like, what do I need to know? So I really actually enjoy the Vital Choice blog as well, because the articles are timely, also very interesting to me, and my inbox is inundated, of course, with all sorts of information from all different, you know, newsletters that I get. And I got to tell you that Vital Choice newsletter is actually one that I actually read. Maybe not every single article, maybe not every single recipe, but whatever you guys choose to, for example, the last week you had an article on calorie cutting. That was definitely of interest to me because Dr. Kelly and I were talking about the safety of doing these mini broth fasts of hers that's in the book. And I always thought that, you know, fasting was a bad thing, it would decrease your metabolism, and then come to find out, you know, some of those studies weren't actually done on humans. Well, I didn't know that. You know, I just assumed that they were. And so that was really great to get that more up-to-date study posted on your blog. And then the other one was about how, you know, the one-minute exercise can be as effective. You know, the 10 minutes of alternating one-minute exercise more equally as effective as 45 minutes of jogging or running. And again, of interest to me. So I do appreciate that you do spend the energy, the time, and money and the manpower to, you know, get the right information, do the research. And, of course, you have all the different articles and in there. And it's not like I agree 100% with everything, but it's actually one of the few newsletters I actually read. Because some of the other newsletters I get are getting really, really commercial. So it's like they're recommending this diet or that diet or this superstar, you know, this weight loss thing, and it's, you know, all these affiliate links, and I'm getting kind of tired of that, I got to tell you. I mean, some of the information is okay, but I bought a few things and then regretted it because I was like, oh, is that all? You know, like it was a trick,
yeah.
You know, to get me to read it. And so I do appreciate that at least what you guys put out. I mean, it's really interesting, and I honestly do not have time to go through every single one of these scientific articles myself, and so I do appreciate the effort you guys do make for this.
Well, thank you. That's Craig Weatherby. He's been with us for, I think, a dozen years or so and published over 1,000 newsletters, and he's just obsessive about the integrity of the science, and he always provides excellent references, so you can really dig in and see for yourself, what's sort of behind the headlines as far as the studies. One thing I wanted to mention, Karen, was you talked about it at the outset, the question about why is seafood safe or healthy? You know, why are people recommending us something like that? And I just wanted to mention, I just returned from a conference a couple months ago in Spain where they pointed out that they had just surpassed 30,000 peer-reviewed studies on omega-3 fatty acids.
Wow.
And it's the most studied nutrient, I believe. And And the thing that's happened is because it is so, you know, it's just, I think over 80% of those studies have found positive correlations between health and sufficient omega-3s in the diet. The ones that have been negative, that the media loves to seize on, are the ones where maybe there was a insufficient dosage or there were problems with the studies. But in general, the science really is behind, you know, eating, getting these omega-3s in your diet every day, which, as you know, really you can't get them in anything other than foods that come from the marine food web. And I'm talking about the long chain fats, the EPA and the DHA that are just so vitally important.
Yeah, that reminds me. More recently, you've been selling your own salmon oil in capsules, and they're beautiful. That was part of the gift basket. Thank you very much. can you tell us a little bit about, aside from the quality of the salmon, of the oils, that pink hue and just how important that, you know, those nutrients are and why people might want to do fish oils, and then how they pick the best ones.
One of my favorite stories about why fish oil is important, omega-3s are important, comes from a few years ago. I was at a neighborhood party, and I live about a mile from the local university here in Bellingham, Washington, and I was introduced to this fellow who was a new professor. He was professor of genetics at this conference at this university, and he asked what I did. At that time, I was still a commercial fisherman, and I told him that, and he just lit up. He said, I eat wild salmon every day. And he proceeded to tell me how, from on a molecular level, why these fats are so incredibly healthy and why there have been, I think, more than 60 different adverse health conditions related to deficiency. And he said it's because every cell in our body needs these. And when you're deficient, as more than, I think, over 90% of people on a standard American diet are profoundly deficient, because they're just not in the standard American diet, right? And because every cell needs them, every cell suffers, and a deficiency can manifest itself in so many different ways. And so as far as the fish oil goes, you know, the fish is always better. A lot of those studies are people eating fish. It's the, you know, we evolved to eat food and fish, and we've probably been eating seafood longer than anything else, given that most scientists agree that life evolved in the sea, right? And it evolved based on a marine food web. Those were the bricks and mortars of life itself, and those long chain fats. And that's why they're critical to our brain function. They're critical to our nervous system function. They're critical to, you know, our heart and eyes. I mean, 500 million years ago, the eye spot evolved in the ocean. And it still uses DHA. After 500 million years, nature couldn't improve upon the DHA in the original, you know. So anyway, not to get too deep into it, but here we are still needing those nutrients. And over the last 100 years, they've been eradicated for all the reasons we talked about earlier. They're an enemy to shelf stability. They go rancid. They taste bad. And so the industrial food system has taken them out so that package could sit on the shelf for months, if not years, without going bad, right? So supplements. Getting back to your question, the supplements, they're a good insurance against gaps in the diet where you don't have fish. We source our first salmon oil over 10 years ago from the very fish that we're freezing or that we're canning. It's the same exact fish. They just, when they clean them, they take the heads. And they put the heads of the fish, and they put them through a steaming process, and they extract oil from the flesh of that's in the heads. And I pursued that because my mom was taking fish oil supplement, and I wanted to find out where it was coming from. And basically, every time I called the company to ask where the fish oil was coming from, I just got all kinds of ridiculous responses. But nobody could tell me where it was coming from. They couldn't tell me what kind of fish it was coming from, And so we had an opportunity to source salmon oil from I know exactly the plant. I'm going there in 2 weeks, the plant that the oil comes from. We've expanded our product line to include other other types of fish oil, but that's really our signature product. It's got all that beautiful orange astaxanthin that you mentioned that give it that just comes naturally out of the flesh of the fish. So that's a little
right.
Background.
And sometimes they'll, like you said before, sometimes they'll feed the fish some sort of, is it like synthetic astaxanthin to get that red color?
Exactly, yes. It's a synthetic astaxanthin made from petrochemicals. And I had somebody explain to me that, you know, the industry will tell you, well, it's just the same as what they get in the wild. And there are some highly conscientious salmon farmers out there that will source the astaxanthin from the algae that is nature identical. But it's more expensive, of course. The vast majority of it is a synthetic astaxanthin, and it was explained to me that it's, you know, it's a different molecular isomer from the natural astaxanthin. And so, I don't want to go into all the detail, but basically it's different. Your body knows it's different. And studies that have looked at fish fed the synthetic version versus the natural version actually have stunted growth. So there's something going on there. There is a difference.
Okay. And getting back to the fish oil, does the because I don't understand the process about the steaming, does the heat affect the oil's like ability to be more rancid or anything like that because it's hot versus I know there's some fish oil companies that say that, you know, they're molecularly distilled, which sounds cool. It sounds like they use heat, and then others that say they're cold pressed or something, and then the triglyceride backbone's in place. I mean, I can you explain any of that kind of stuff?
Sure. So I had a friend who had been a chemist in the fish oil industry for more than 40 years. He called me up one day and said that we needed to know each other because he brought the first human-grade fish oil to market in 1959. And that in itself is a wonderful story. But basically he said that they used to feed their chickens, their test chickens, cooked fish oil, and it would stunt their growth. And the takeaway was he said that if you heat up over 350 degrees, there's a breakdown in the oil. And but up until that temperature, apparently it's okay. And our thing about the steaming is so the heads come in and they're ground up. And then they're put into these steam vessels, so it's 212 degrees, and then the oil separates out, and basically we put it through a centrifuge to clean it, and then we encapsulate it. Now, as far as molecularly distilled, 99.9% of all fish oil is molecularly distilled, and we actually are offering some ourselves now. And I think the important takeaway is, yes, it's not natural. It is going to change the composition. It's not just the omega-3s in fish oil. There are a whole range of compounds in there that are occurring naturally, and which is why I say when you eat the fish, you're getting everything. But the fact is, I referenced the 30,000 studies. Many of those studies have been with molecularly distilled, refined, processed fish oil, and show benefit. So while it's not nature identical, it is delivering those omega-3 molecules that are so important and which so many people are without. And so I think it is a good alternative. If you can get the fish, that's best. But if you can't, the molecularly distilled fish oil is better than nothing.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that. And I would like you to share the story that you shared of in the movie about I'm mixing my movies up now, but I think J.J. Virgin was in the movie too. They were talking about fish oil or fish. And yeah, that was such a really, really amazing story. So,
yes, I was attending a conference. It was a Dr. Andrew Weil's Nutrition and Health Conference in New York. It was actually 10 years ago this last month. And one of his speakers was a fellow named Dr. Julian Bales, who talked about omega-3s and their neuroprotective benefit. So we all know that fish is sort of the ultimate brain food, or should know that. But it turns out that this fish oil, you know, it contains the DHA, which basically are the bricks and mortar of the brain. And it also has, omega-3s have a probably the strongest anti-inflammatory capacity of just about any food. And so if he was talking about this one instance of this miner who had been trapped and starved for air, and by the time they got to him, his organs were shutting down, he had severe brain trauma, and they basically didn't think he would ever come out of it. And make a long story short, they ended up giving him high doses of fish oil, thinking that, well, he's got this brain damage, that the DHA will help provide the components for rebuilding the brain tissue, and the anti-inflammatory impact will deal with the inflammation, the related inflammation. And turned out the fellow walked out of the hospital, a few weeks later. He finished school. He's now married and family. And it's just a miracle story of high dose fish oil in brain trauma cases. Well, the miracle of the story was 2 weeks later, my wife and I got a call from our daughter, who was out in New York going to college. She just finished her junior year at Parsons there. And to make a long story short, she was had meningitis and had severe brain and swelling, and she was in a coma in the hospital, or she ended up in. And so my wife and I flew back there. Here she is in this coma, and I just had attended this conference, and basically meningitis causes get the term, encephalitis, where you have brain swelling, and it's equivalent of a stroke, right, because it cuts off circulation. So I remembered the conference, and I asked the doctor if they could put fish oil into her feeding tube, and of course he looked at me like I was a little crazy, and he said, well, that's for heart problems or for arthritis. Why would you want to give it to her? And I explained. He said, well, I'll ask the pharmacist. So to his credit, he did, and the pharmacist said okay, and so they started adding it. And of course, it was between 2 and 3 months she was in the hospital, but when she was discharged, her neurologist said that they basically couldn't believe that she had progressed to the extent that she had. He said that he and nobody on his team had ever seen anybody that had reached that level of injury, if you want to call it that, recover to the extent that she did.
Wow.
So it was a real serendipitous thing that I happened to be there. Now, some of your listeners may be familiar with the movie Concussion that was out last year about in sports, and in particular in football. You have all these athletes, soccer, across sports. You have all these kids that are getting these concussions. And Alec Baldwin, the actor, portrayed Dr. Julian Bales in this movie, in all about concussions and actually, while they didn't talk about it in the movie, the takeaway message is if you're participating or your children are participating in any kind of a sport where brain trauma, or concussion is possible, you can protect them, provide them a level of protection by making sure they have ample omega-3 fats, because not only is it curative, it also has been shown to be protective. And I know we're short on time here, but there are some really compelling studies showing that in animal experiments, the animals that had omega-3 on board, in their system and were subjected to brain trauma fared much better than the ones that were deficient. So that's an important message we'd like to get out there.
Oh, that's
and JJ's
great.
JJ's done,
and
as
so
you know.
Someone... Yeah, and then JJ's I had no idea that happened to her family.
Yeah, her son was a victim of a hit and run accident. Same thing. They didn't give him much chance of recovering, and so she did the same thing. I called her and told her about the episode with my daughter, so they had also encountered really marvelous results with the fish oil therapy. Unfortunately, it's just not widely adopted or promoted in this country, which is really a tragedy because it is used widely in other countries. But for some reason, the FDA doesn't want to approve it here. But that's another battle.
Yeah. Well, how much? I mean, how much did you end up recommending to the doctor to help your daughter, or did he just kind of, or he or she decide how much to put in the IV?
Well, a lot of research has been done since then. We were, as you can imagine, we were basically at a state of shock ourselves, and
yeah.
I don't remember. I think it's about 3 grams a day of EPA and DHA is the recommended dosage, but of course everybody's different, every situation. The thing that's fantastic about this is it's not a pharmaceutical. It's basically derived from food, and so you don't have side effects. It's safe, as opposed to pretty much any drug, many drugs that are good. And don't get me wrong, there are pharmaceuticals out there that are beneficial. In fact, my daughter wouldn't have gone through this if her naturopathic physician had given her antibiotics when she'd been in his office a couple days earlier, but he chose not to do that, and she nearly died as a result. So, but anyway, the fish oil is just 100% safe, and they're just, like I said, tens of thousands of studies that show benefit, and so we're just passionate about trying to get the message out there because it can help so many people suffering from so many different afflictions, and that's why we call our company Vital Choice, because we really believe that it is.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic. And so for people listening in, and I will be posting on my website, actually on the page that we have the Vital Choice banner, there's actually a little banner there that if you're a first-time customer, you can get 10% off. There's the code there. So if you want to go to KarenCann.com/Vital Choice, you'll see that, and I'll be posting my favorite. And I got to tell you, I don't like cooking a lot. Like, I like really fun, quick stuff. So you're not going to see beef bourguignon on my blog because it takes too long to make. But I have these really fun little quick recipes that I use with Randy's products. So I'm going to be posting that later today. So check out that. You can just go to KarenCann.com, click Dr. Karen Recommends, or my blog. You'll see that there is a link there to Vital Choice right from there, and you can get that coupon code and definitely get on their mailing list, because not only do they have some great information, but also you get access to their weekly specials. So there are constantly offering special gifts and for you to try their different products. They have, now organic dried fruit and trail mixes, and now other types of meats as well available if you want a kind of a one-stop shop. And, of course, the lovely bone broth. I talked about the fish bone broth, which I don't see where you can get anywhere else, so unless you make your own. Randy, maybe, I don't think you'll probably be selling the bones anytime soon, but I'd buy it.
You want to sell fish heads?
I'll buy fish heads. Yeah, I will buy. Chinese people eat that stuff. We eat that stuff. I can't get it here. any last words you want to share with people? And of course, you can go directly to Randy's site as well, vitalchoice.com. So any last words for our listeners?
Sure. We know that people are hesitant to buy something like seafood online, so we take all the risk out by giving a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A lot of people are intimidated by cooking fish, as you know, and so we have some wonderful little one-minute videos, cooking videos on our website, and mm-hmm. we also produce products that are super easy and convenient. And the last thing I want to say is when we were starting, you mentioned the non-biodegradable shipping packaging, and over the last couple of years, we've transitioned. It's not 100% employed, but I'd say 95% of our perishable shipping packaging is 100% biodegradable. So we're getting away from the styrofoam coolers that, they do a great job, but they face it, they're not the best for the environment. So we don't use those unless people request them, or maybe it's 120 degrees in your area and we might use them. But for the most part, we have shifted over to a biodegradable packaging solution. But I want to invite everybody to come to our website, explore. There's just a tremendous amount of information there. And I really appreciate being with you today, Karen. It's been a delight.
Yes, same here. Absolutely our pleasure. We're so great to highlight a great ethical company like yourself. And by the way, for those of you that are gluten-free, like so many of my patients, they actually have these mixes and these soups and things like that. And when they asked us as customers what we wanted, I immediately put, I want organic and I want gluten-free options. And that's exactly what they did. So thank you for being that company that actually listens to us, Sandy.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, and thanks everyone for listening in. Again, go to KarenCann.com/vital choice, and I will be posting those recipes right after the show. All right, take care, everyone. Thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.